Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Election Day edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Dan Foster, news editor at National Review Online, and for Jim Garrity, who's out for a couple of weeks. And Dan, good news, crazy news, and just our own voting experiences are on the agenda for today. This day seemed like it would never get here, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day, which hopefully will be tomorrow, where my initial reaction to most news is, yeah, but what's the sample? with all this blizzard of polling, so
yeah, we're going to be able to stop unskewing the news.
That's right. So on to the good martini now, and obviously we hope for a really good martini tomorrow with the election results, both for the White House and even hopefully the Senate. But the good news, I think, today, as we watch pretty good numbers go to the polls across the country and in the battleground states, is the fact that this campaign, especially after the selection of Paul Ryan as Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate, was really run on big things. As much as the Obama campaign tried to make it about Big Bird and contraception and binders and dividing people as many humanly ways as possible, the Romney campaign really kept it up there. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about believing in America. We're talking about getting the spending back under control and finally voting for love of country as opposed to revenge. Hopefully it'll be enough. Maybe it won't. But ultimately, there were adult issues that needed to be addressed in this campaign, entitlements as well. They got addressed. And for that, this ticket, I think, deserves a lot of credit.
Absolutely. I think there were two great pieces that, depending on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, could be read either as celebrations or epitaphs for Mitt Romney, one by Ross Douthat and one by Yuval Levin over at the corner. Ross was more of a Romney skeptic. I think you've all always liked Romney, but they both praised Romney for kind of surprising everybody and for all this talk about him as an etch-a-sketch candidate and all the complaints on the left about his policy vagueness and what are the numbers in his tax plan and things like that. You're absolutely right. This is a guy who ran on very serious, very divisive entitlement reform and made it a big part of his campaign, who's run for 2 years now on repealing Obamacare, which was a big, bold stance. And he said, you know, Dave, it's an actionable item that he said, day one, if I'm elected president, I'll issue waivers to all 50 states and I'll work to get Obamacare repealed and replaced. So those are two big things. And as you saw on the other side, we got a glossy 20-page pamphlet, most of it pictures, that basically says I'm going to do all the stuff I promised to do in the first term, except this time I'll get it right. And you got Big Bird and binders full of women and revenge, and I got 99 problems, but a mitt ain't one. And I think, you know, for all the cynicism and talk about how troubled our democracy is, and don't get me wrong, I think it's troubled. I think Americans have, and the president is absolutely right about this, the clearest choice they've had in a generation. Let's hope they're up to the task.
Yeah, let's certainly hope so. We look forward to good news tonight. As if you heard the Three Martini Lunch yesterday, we're very cautiously, Jim and I were predicting that yesterday, but won't be surprised pretty much no matter what happens tonight. So we'll find out. If you haven't voted yet, please do. Get ready for some long lines. We'll talk about that in a second. Dan, on to martini number two now. And, you know, there's always a number of things that drive me crazy when it comes to getting elections right. There's voter intimidation, which we'll talk about in just a second, but one that I think ought to infuriate absolutely everyone, and that is, once again, the people whose votes ought to be absolutely protected and enshrined and guaranteed are the ones getting the shaft, and that's the members of the U.S. military, because once again, the ballots have gone out too late. The military postal service is extremely sluggish. It can take between 14 to 50 days, according to the Hill newspaper, for mail to be redirected to the right spot if troops get moved around from the place where the address was to. And essentially, a lot of these guys and gals are going to get these ballots well after November 6th, which means they're no good at that point. And so they've been disenfranchised when they're the ones out there making sure we have the right to continue to do this in the first place. Just absolutely disgraceful. And since it's happened before, there's no excuse for it happening again this time.
That's the damning thing. Is the really frustrating thing about that report is that this stuff was pointed out by the DOD in 2010 in an internal audit, and you know, necessary changes haven't been implemented. And you're right. We have National Review. We editorialized against early voting in most cases. We think it's important for America to get together on Election Day and do this voting thing as one. But it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, 40% of the electorate can vote by mail a month early, online, over their cell phones, however, in a million different ways, just because of convenience and little more. And the United States military, which, as you said, if anyone should have a say in the future of spending, in the future of the foreign policy of this country, it should be our men and women in uniform, are disenfranchised. It shouldn't stand. I hope that there's some robust legal challenges on this. I am not a fan of elections extending beyond Election Day. If it comes down to just a couple thousand votes in Ohio and the military is disenfranchised, I'd be just fine with fighting that one out in the courts.
Yeah, I think most of us would be, and hopefully on the other side as well, although I wouldn't bet on it given Al Gore's track record of trying to find any reason whatsoever to discount military votes back during the Florida recount. So we'll find out. On to martini number three now, and this one's a little more personal, our own voting experiences. And before we talk about that, we should point out and really thank Eric Holder, since what he should have done early on in the administration in terms of cracking down on the new Black Panthers, who are ready to plead no contest, he let them go. They're back at the polling sites in Philadelphia today. Other polling sites in Philly, Republican poll inspectors ordered there by the courts, forcibly removed and replaced by Democrats. The judges issued an order to reinstate them, so there's chaos over there. Who knows how legitimate the vote is in those precincts. Let's just hope that that doesn't also become a major issue in what has become a very tight swing state.
Greg, didn't you know that it's only Republicans who suppress voters? Surely you must be mistaken. I mean, God forbid, kick the GOP, poll monitors out, but God forbid anybody ask anyone for a driver's license.
Exactly right. So this is one of the reasons why Pennsylvania has seemingly been a bridge too far for Republicans, but the numbers seem to be pretty tight there, including in Mitt Romney's internal polls. But Dan, let's talk a little bit about our own voting experiences this morning, since both of us have already cast our ballots, me in Virginia, you in New Jersey. You've obviously been affected by the aftermath of Sandy and so forth. Talk about how that changed things, if at all, and what your experience was like.
We've been without power here, most of us, for the entire week. I got my power back a couple days ago. As a result, in my small town in New Jersey, they moved all of the various polling districts to one location, which made the lines a little long, but it's a Republican town, generally. So locally, Romney and Joe Carillos, who's the Senate candidate running against Happy Bob Menendez, who seems like he's got a better social life than me. So locally, I think, Romney and Republicans are going to do well. New Jersey is going to be interesting. I mean, I had a pleasant experience voting. It was the Knights of Columbus and the American Legion. Lots of friendly senior citizens helping us out and finding our names in the books and pointing us to the polling booths and giving us some Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's always a pleasant experience to vote here. But one interesting thing to see is one area where Obama's really got a sandy bounce, especially if you look at Gallup, is in the East, obviously. And he was already going to win New Jersey. But the interesting thing will be, will his bounce outnumber the number of people and in a heavily blue state who just either cannot, I hope there aren't many who cannot, but either cannot vote or just find it really inconvenient to vote or weigh down their list of priorities when they're still dealing with houses underwater, power outages, staying warm, waiting in line for gasoline, those sorts of things. Will his modest Gallup boost show up there, or will it not really show up at all because of so many people who just decide to focus on more quotidian things than voting? And I guess, if I wanted to be a conspiracy theorist, I would say with very, very low turnout, we think that low turnout traditionally favors Republicans. Maybe Menendez is in a little bit of trouble. I don't know. Maybe that's way too wishful thinking. But I have heard reports that numbers are down and the situation is chaotic at various parts of the state, and it could put that seat in play.
I would say, Dan, though, not to be jealous of Bob Menendez's social life, I will say also that it sounds like you're probably a better tipper than Bob Menendez based on the reports we've heard recently. My experience was much longer than I expected. I'm in a relatively new precinct, moved not that long ago, and it's a pretty conservative precinct, 90-minute wait. Most people are in a pretty good mood, except when a little kid pulled the fire alarm in the hallway. And that sounded really good for about 10 minutes. But overall, people were in a good mood, plenty of patience, and the system seemed to go pretty well. So I got in there and got out in about 90 minutes. And on the way out, as I encouraged folks to do yesterday, took as much literature as I could from the person handing out the Democratic sample ballot so they would run out before the end of the day when other people come in and they want to hand them the Democratic sample ballot. So I don't know if that was ultimately an impact on the election. We'll never really know. But just doing my part, Dan. Just doing my part.
Have you heard anything about turnout more broadly in Virginia?
I haven't yet. I would expect that it's going to be pretty high given all the attention here and given a tight Senate race as well. Not, as far as I can tell, a huge number of competitive House races, but I think between Kane versus Allen and the presidential race being within the margin of error just about everywhere, I'm guessing we'll probably be north of 60%, and hopefully that's a good thing.
Can I fight you into a corner? And I don't know if you've made it with Jim, but can you make a prediction on who wins Virginia?
We both called Virginia for Romney narrowly. We think it'll be tighter than Florida. I would guess it'll probably be within 2 or 3 percentage points. I hope it's enough to carry George Allen over the finish line, but yesterday we both suggested that it probably wouldn't be. But we'd love to be wrong on that aspect of it.
Okay. I think that's about right, sadly. But good for Romney. He'll need Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be pivotal. So let's hope we have plenty to celebrate and toast tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be doing it a little bit later than usual and a little more groggily than usual. But we'll be here. Dan, thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you later, Greg.
Dan Foster, news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Again, Jim Garrity out for the next couple of days. So join Dan and I again tomorrow as we recap. Hopefully we'll know who won everything on Wednesday's edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.